In the infancy of the world, Samsaris was a dark place. If old tomes are to be believed, the world was created by demonkind to satisfy their lusts and fury. In Desaldenia, it is said that the demon of death, Braxult, made the heavens and earth. She who would take all lives was also she who created them. Her efforts created the first humans, and all of her siblings were content to prey upon them and feed on their misery. All except Ashtabula. The demon lord of pride was not content with his sister's creations, as he was certain he could do better. His hands molded a tribe of humans into something new, something more refined than their forebears. He took the bestial humans and made them slimmer and more agile. Ashtabula gave them jagged features, pointing their ears to accentuate the graceful angles of their faces. When he was pleased by their shape, he gave them great feathery wings so that they might ride the wind and always be amongst his breath. They were the Avriel, the first elves, the winged ones. All agreed they were beautiful. All were pleased that their screams could last for centuries, as they did not die as the race of men would die. They were the prize of demonkind. Ashtabula, demon lord of pride, was indeed proud. Gull had many riches and surrounded himself with the most vile of the demon kin, from wise Ophirs to dark-scaled Drumkins. He should have been content, yet the demon lord of greed wanted more. One day he spoke with Moongard, his son, the raven of trickery. The bird's purple eyes watched him intently. "You are my progeny, raven. Mine. All mine. You do as I say. You suffer when it pleases me. You have learnt to call me king. This is so?" "Yes, my great king," replied the raven. "But there is more you must do if you are to become the king of all demons."
"What do you speak of, bird?"
The raven smiled. "You aspire to own everything, do you not? There is one that has more than you."
The thought drove Gull into a rage. "Who, bird? Who?"
"Your brother, Ashtabula. He boasts of it. He has riches you could not even dream of, O king."
Gull was filled with seething anger and desire. If he was to be king of demons, he would need these riches. The thought consumed him and festered for ages like meat left to rot. It filled his mind with worms and maggots until all was poison. Gull would have that bounty. Gull searched all of Sribanet for an answer to his desire. The realm of demons was vast and ever-changing. He felt close to giving up when he happened upon a witch. Her purple eyes gleamed in the darkness, watching the demon lord approach.
"Crone, I wish for an answer. If you have knowledge, you will give it to me. All of it."
Her smile beamed, and if she felt threatened, she showed it not.
"Oh, yes! I have salve for your wound, my lord, but it is not medicine. I have succor for your soul, but it shall not be found in words. I can ease your burden, my lord, but the weight I carry is light."
"You will speak plainly with me, woman. I have not come here for riddles. I need your answer now."
"Greed has no patience, my lord."
Reaching into her sack, she produced a small knife made of jagged bone. It seemed tarnished and old, somehow older than any who now gazed upon it.
"Do you give me jokes? Do you think you can trick me? I could give you pain for an eternity, witch. I could uncreate you or banish you to the dark places of the Sribanet in which you will cease to be. One of my kind cannot be harmed. I want to be stronger than even that."
"You are almost correct, my lord. Yet long ago, before you knew being, one of your kind was killed, and this was the blade which had done the deed. Take it, and you shall know your wish."
Gull's eyes gleamed. He took the knife from the witch. No payment was offered, nor was one requested. He left there and made way to where his brother slumbered. Slowly, Gull crept up upon him, holding the blade to his throat. Slowly, Ashtabula opened his eyes.
"What is this, brother? You could not kill me. I am better than you. If you fight me, I will win.
A wicked smile splayed itself across Gull's face like the cracking of an earthquake.
No, brother, you will not.
Gull pulled the jagged blade across his brother's throat, sending blood droplets flying across Samsaris. Thus, the demon war began in the heavens. In the absence of the true demon king, siblings fought and nations crashed against nation. In all of this, the jagged blade was lost, though that is a story for another time. 9 blood droplets splashed across the earth, turning into the fabled ash stones, the blood of the demon lord of pride. The races of Samsaris quickly forgot about the stones, and they faded into history. Until now.
Samsaris is a world forged by demons but stolen by dragons. 4 heroes have banded together to ensure ancient evils do not reclaim their creation. Episode 4, Celebration's End.
The desert troll's body is being constantly paraded around the campsite, lifted upon the shoulders of the Delharoon celebrators. Up until this point, they had been rather stoic or even slightly hostile. Now, however, it seems every group of them has a jug or wineskin being passed amongst them. Afsana, you've seen celebrations of this magnitude before at things like weddings, but this is the first time the outsiders have witnessed anything like this. Those skins and jugs are being pressed into your hands by joyful members of the tribe, as are, like, offerings of food. And, what are you all doing during this celebration?
Azeroth is, mingling. Staying close to Zayet. Talking about, the waves of sand out here, and talking about the similarities between that and the waves of water. Getting all deep.
Dude, yeah, that's actually kind of good.
So you're telling me that our desert, which is completely dry, shares similarities with your ocean?
Oh, well, on the surface, of course. Are not these little grains of sand, and I pick it up and let it run through my hand. It pours out of my hand just as water would. And this great, I spread my arms out and pretty much 360. Every grain of sand out here adds to this immense environment, just as every drop of water added together creates mine.
Did you know that there are Delharoon who are not horsemen?
I couldn't imagine. You seem to all love horses.
Yes, to the north there are the Drake Teeth. They travel off the coast in ironwood canoes, fishing and trading everywhere from the ports of Un to Theron.
So they're seafaring Delharoon?
They do not travel far from the coast. They do not have the big ships that brought you to this land. Our Afsana lived with them for a period of time.
Did she? So they roam the coast as you roam the dune.
Yes, and like us, they are traders.
You mean betrayers? And I like reach for my sword. Oh, tree.
Yes. Like your dwarven friend.
I must have sand in my ears.
Perhaps I have water in mine.
I chuckle. Probably don't have much left of the wine skin of fine wine.
I imagine you have 2 glasses worth left.
I pour one to share.
He nods in appreciation and takes a sip.
I will admit, this is mighty fine wine.
Thank you.
Cordo, what are you up to?
Oh, Cordo's definitely like setting up with whatever the band is.
Excellent. Go ahead and make yourself a musical instrument proficiency check. I imagine that made it, huh?
Yeah, a 9 made for sure.
And I'm sorry, David. What instrument are you playing?
A mandolin.
You keep pace with the Delharoon that are playing, the firelight glinting off their polished wooden instruments. One is drumming, there is another mandolin. There's also an instrument you don't recognize, with strings and a bow that its owner informs you is called a violin. All of your instruments come together in a lively and upbeat composition that causes many of the Delharoon, especially the younger ones, to dance around the fire in swirls of color as you play. Afsana, what are you doing?
I'm going to find Hafez to make sure he joins us in this celebration. It feels like a while since I've seen him, perhaps even since the night in his tent when the assassins came after him, and I'm just slightly concerned.
You find Hafez around one of the campfires. On his lap is one of his granddaughters. The smile on his face is almost as immense as the desert you live in. She laughs as he cracks jokes and just really a cute child. He's aged pretty well and has made an amazing grandfather and patriarch. Upon seeing you, he sends her on her way and she runs off giggling. Afsana! Sister!
Brother, we return with good news. I'm glad for it. Our people needed it.
Yes, everyone knows of your victory.
I'm glad to see that the harsh words and harsher looks of the last few days are starting to soften.
I believe that they have. This has gone far to change the opinion of the people.
What of Manek? Is he celebrating?
I have not seen him tonight, sister. He has made himself scarce.
Abja. His was the only face I saw not smiling when we returned from the desert.
I wonder why that would be.
Is he a jealous man?
It's hard to say. He covets power, but in a different way than your brother. He did rise through the ranks to become war chief of his own accord. He is a fierce warrior, my sister, with a tactical mind. Abja is a man to fear. Zaya takes another heavy pull out of the bottle. My friend, if you would like, I could crack open a vintage of my own.
By all means. I love a drink or two before I dance. So I don't dance in the same way that your people do.
No, I have seen your dance.
It's the same. It's the very same.
I pray that while you dance, you can keep your sword sheathed.
I cannot. That's a part of the dance. I shall dance alone, not among the other festivities. The Bladesinger, we've always been loners. It's quite strange having traveled so far with the same people. Aside from my brother growing up, I only had very few friends, and the dance I do is meant to be sung between the dancer and his blade.
For the Delharun, the tribe is everything. The tribe is family. All of us are family. At least, that is how we see it. When you are Delharun, you never dance alone. As you are playing your music, Cordo, a young woman of the tribe dances her way towards you, reaching out her hand. She flashes you a smile.
Cordo's a bit caught up in the celebration. He'll drop his mandolin and grab her hand.
She whisks you around the fire, and your wine cup seems to never empty. So Hafez scratches his beard. Afsana, what do you think it is between Abja and Manek?
Afsana pauses and looks around at the fires burning around camp, her family and her tribe celebrating, and then turns back to her brother and says, I've never felt the way he does, so it's hard to say, but Manek is always looking outside our borders, comparing what we have to other cultures, other worlds. He wants what he does not have.
You know that Atzel has that in him as well.
I know.
It is different with him, I think.
He just wants acceptance from among our own people.
It is hard for him, being the youngest.
He'll learn.
Zayat takes another sip. Well, my friend, the vintage that I have is not exactly for dancing.
Is this more of the dream stuff?
He smiles and nods. Yes, it is for your dreaming.
I want to dance first.
Yes, well, go and dance first, my friend. It'll be here later if you decide that you would like it.
From what I understand, you learn things about the waking life in your dreams. Yeah, there's still things to learn from my first dream. It was startling, but there's some kind of lesson that I need to learn from it.
Yes, there is much wisdom in the Dalen, but you should beware. Not all dreams are true. Just as you have met demons in your waking life, there are demons in your sleep that will lie to you.
A lot of lying in this world.
Yes, in waking and in sleep. They are the Belka, the demons that inhabit the dreaming. Born of the Raven, they are tricksters, just like he.
Makes sense.
You've met Rua, yes?
Yes. She's the old woman, right?
Yes, she is our wise woman. She is an interpreter of dreams.
I'll have to see her after our drink. Later.
Now go and dance, my friend. Enjoy yourself. Let some of those worries leave your brow.
I shall. So I get up. I extend my hand at first to, shake his hand.
He shakes her hand with a marked respect in his eyes. While Zayat had always been friendly toward you, it seems this fight, this encounter with the desert troll has changed a lot of things. He, as well as many others of the tribe, display a certain amount of admiration towards your party now.
I had a feeling.
Hafez puts his hands on his knees to stand. He's still pretty solidly built, but his age is beginning to show. He's not as young as he once was. Nonetheless, he stands and he puts his hands out towards you. Afsana, would you dance with your brother?
Of course.
So the next few hours are a whirling of exuberance and colors and sound. Azelrath, your dance is violent, yet refined. Graceful, yet terrifying. More than once you catch the glance of onlookers, some impressed, some fearful, yet others looking upon you savagely. Cordo, you are lost in merriment. When you're not playing your instrument, you're dancing with this woman. You're both laughing and smiling and having a grand time.
Can you go for like a lifty, spinny kind of move?
You certainly can. She laughs with wild abandon and the people around you clap. That natural charisma of yours just pouring out of you as you do. Your hands around her hips, you lower her to the ground, and her eyes catch yours. And a soft smile spreads across her lips. Afsana, your brother dances with you for a long while before he parts to dance with some of the other members of the tribe. And it's nice. He's happy, which is something you haven't seen a lot of these past few days. And you know why he's happy. He's happy because his people are happy. You see him on occasion clench a pendant around his neck, not with worry, but with joy. The night starts winding down. The music takes on a softer, more somber tone. There's not as much dancing now. People are retiring to the various fires to talk and drain the last of their skins.
Well, things are starting to die down a little bit. Pearl still wants to hang out with this Dalharim girl, but he really just wants to sit around the embers with her and chatter up a little bit.
Roll me a charisma check.
Okay. Succeeded.
Your roguish pirate ways are in full effect, and she is more than happy to tell you all about her life. She's always been Dalharim. She's always ridden the sand. She tells you of her time spent in Oon and her love of the metal trinkets they sell there. She talks deeply of Theron and her reverence for the monks there. And while she respects them deeply, she would never want to live their lifestyle. She talks of her parents, her brother. She tells you about her dreams, both sleeping visions and waking ambitions. And you talk long into the night.
Yeah.
What about the rest of you?
Azelrath finds his way back to Sayet and sits down with him again. Declares that he probably made a fool of himself when he tried to learn their name. Our journey isn't yet over, so maybe I'll find time to learn it completely.
Perhaps you will, my friend. Perhaps you will.
I'm gonna have that drink, right?
He pours you a cup out of his skin. So you have had this drink before?
I've tried it before, but I didn't have a great experience.
The Dalin is not always friendly.
Well, I'm in more control of my spirit at the moment. Though I have many worries, maybe that is what lingers in my dream state.
And what was the dancing, my friend?
I think I made a fool of myself.
Then you are doing it right. No one begins life as a great dancer.
Aye, but I've been dancing my whole life.
Yes, but you have been doing your dance. I know how to swing a sword. I have been swinging a sword for a very long time. But I do not know how to swing a sword like you swing a sword.
Ah, that's your analogy there. Proves quite true.
He fills a large metal cup with liquid out of his skin, nods and hands it to you.
Well, my spirits are a little better today, having felled a demon and won at least some of the hearts of your tribe. Here's to better dreams. I drink it down.
He takes a large swig as well. Sleep well, Azelrath. You have done miraculous things today.
As should be expected of an elf. I say as I'm drifting off.
You manage to stumble your way to your tent, where you fall asleep with a good amount of peace.
I'm feeling pretty excited to see what the dream realm holds tonight. With the excitement of the group and the novelty of the day, I'm feeling confident that Dalen will have something important to show me. I make my way to the edge of the camp where there are still a few fires burning low.
You pass Zayat along the way. You notice he is partaking of the dream wine of your people.
I stop and sit next to him. May I join you?
Afsana, I wish that you would.
I reach out toward him and take the glass.
Can you believe this day?
No, but I'm grateful for it.
When I woke up, I did not think I would be fighting a demon. He takes a long pull off the bottle. I look forward to the Dalen tonight.
As do I. I've had strange dreams lately.
It has been strange days lately, Afsana. How is it to be home again?
It's good to be among my people again. I'm glad to be home. My family. My friends.
Here. He passes you the skin. You may finish this. I am ready. My eyelids have grown heavy, and the sands of the dunes have filled the corners of my eyes.
Sleep well, Zayat, and travel the Dalen.
As I hope you do, wise one. He stands up and makes his way back toward the camp, leaving you alone at the fire with the skin.
I sip from it slowly as I stare into the dying embers.
So, Afsana, you are sitting in a wooden chair. Sitting across from you at a table are the two young girls from the dream you've had before.
Is this the first time I've seen them since that first dream?
Yes.
I speak to them. You have returned.
This time they speak in unison, their voices sounding a chorus, but their voices are modulating between that of a young girl and something more guttural, more draconic. No, Afsana, it is you who have returned.
Are you here because I've found you?
You have not found us yet.
Where are you?
Far from where you are. To the west.
We travel west.
One of them giggles, and the other one replies, No, we will not be there. Our people, they wish to forget about us.
Are you in exile?
One could say. There's much we know. We would like to tell it to you.
At this point, I look at them and I realize that they are twins. I lean closer to these twin girls across the length of the table and I say, You're twins. Twins just like Druhas and Mugen. The twins my brother worships.
All twins belong to them. All twins are a little the same. We are not the mages.
You may not be the mages, but you have much to teach me.
We have seen things of the present, and we have seen things of the future.
I lean back.
And as you do, your chair continues to lean backwards until it falls. And you struggle to catch your balance, arms and legs flailing, and you feel the chair hit the water. You feel yourself being tossed about by waves, and your head surfaces for a moment. And you see canoes all about you.
Do I recognize them?
You recognize the canoes, but you don't recognize the people. And you realize the reason for this is that none of them have faces.
It's all just flat skin where faces should be.
I struggle in the choppy water, trying to reach out toward one of the canoes nearby.
You manage to make it to one. You cling to it. A hand comes down to grab your own.
I reach out and I grab the hand and I start to pull myself up into the canoe.
He helps you, and the face is very familiar on this man.
He has a face?
He has a face.
I look at him and I say, I never thought I'd see you again.
Yes, well, perhaps you won't. But there is always the down end.
I waited for you. Waited for you to come back. But I couldn't wait any longer. I needed my people again.
Perhaps it was always so.
What have you come to show me?
He shakes his head sadly. No, I am not here to show you anything. I am not prophecy, nor am I warning.
You're just the past.
I'm all I have ever been. Asana, are you happy?
I am. Happier now than I was among your people.
You know, there will always be a spot for you among them.
I know. I may yet go back.
You're unique among our people. You know this.
Rua says the same thing.
The blood of many tribes runs in you. You belong to us. You belong to the Dreamwalkers. Though your mother, she was not always a Dreamwalker, was she?
She was born a Raven's Claw.
A Raven's Claw, you say?
She's with them now. She left after my father died to return, be among her own people.
The water beneath you is dark, but a moon reflects upon it. Only Mugen is visible now. There are many hours before the morning, Asana. Looking around you at the other canoes, you recognize the people in them now, though they are Dreamwalkers. You see Abja and Hafez and Atsel, and you see Rua far off. Coming directly toward you, you see Manek, rowing with all his might.
I call out to him, Manek, Manek, come join us.
And he's not rowing a canoe anymore. He's rowing what looks to be some sort of sea beast, long, serpentine, scaled and fanged, and he's not rowing it. It's somehow a part of him, and he's a part of it. It gets close to you and hisses, Asana, and its claws swing into your canoe, tearing large chunks away from it, and it sinks into the water. Help me.
And you awake. You're far beneath the water. In front of you are a pair of huge doors, looming above you like monuments to some long forgotten dead race. They are part of an ancient temple that is far beneath the waves.
This seems familiar.
Yes, very. Standing by your side is Izzeldorn.
I give a big smile as I look over at him.
He looks over at you and seems confused by your smile. Are you ready to go inside, my friend?
As ready as I'll ever be.
The two large doors swing open as if they're responding to some unspoken request. And unlike when you actually were to this location, it is not in ruin. The shelves still line the walls, each one laden with perfectly preserved books. It makes no sense as they are underwater, but it is as it is. What is it you're looking for, Azelrath?
The truth behind these conspiracies of the gods.
Truth is something you can just find? Do you think it exists?
I don't think it matters whether I think it exists or not. It's something that's worth discovering.
How much are you willing to pay?
Well, I've already risked my life. And yours.
Yes. How long have I been gone?
It's been months, my friend. Too long.
How is your brother taking the news?
I have not been able to return. Do you remember your last day?
I do.
Then you remember it was our own brother and that slayed you and tried to kill me. It rather did, until someone was able to bring me back.
Do you think that you'll ever go home?
I must find out this truth first. If it involves our own people deceiving for the purposes of the demons, then I'll be of no use going back and just being a mindless slave to the council.
But the dragons, didn't they cast all demons away?
I don't know, Izzy. I truly hope so. But if not, then I'll have to find out.
I would have liked to accompany you on that journey, my friend.
It's good to see you again.
Hey! A loud yell comes from behind you.
Turn around.
You see Chip swaggering up to you, skin in hand. Alright then, if you two are gonna kiss, how about you get it over with, huh?
Chips, what are you doing here?
He shrugs. I don't know. It's your dream, innit?
Yeah, but... I mean, Isildur and I... we go way back.
Hey now. We've had some time, ain't we?
Sure.
Yeah, remember? There's that door that one time I couldn't unlock. And then there's the other time there's that chest I couldn't unlock, eh?
I'll check out.
Well, how much time are you gonna waste here, huh?
Well, I guess what I would like to know is, who sent the sea elves after me?
I don't know. I reckon other sea elves.
Other sea elves, obviously, Chip. Is it wrong? On the inside?
Just one thing, he says. The next words I speak to you are very important.
Yes.
Azelrath, it's time to wake up.
No, damn it.
Your eyes gently flutter open. As you lay inside your cool tent. Meanwhile, Cordo,
Yes. You
step outside of your tent. Breeches on, but shirtless. The early morning sun settling upon your skin.
Mm-hmm.
You don't even notice the hangover that you should have. A slight breeze is blowing across the desert sand, sending some of it blowing across your bare shins. There's not many people awake in the camp yet. A single red bird hops by the dying embers of last night's fire. It looks at you for a moment and gives you one short little chirp before continuing its hop through the sands.
What a nice little bird. Cordo is tempted, but does not try to chase it down.
You're broken out of your reverie by a familiar voice.
Hey, it appears you forgot how to get back to your own tent last night, huh?
Bird, is that you?
Bird, is that you? It's me, Arkin, you fool.
Porter looks down. Oh, of course. What can I say? I got waylaid by some pleasant conversation.
I bet you did. A lot of people were pretty happy last night.
Yeah, it was a right celebration.
I imagine in the midst of it all, no one remembered to have any conversations they were planning on having, huh?
Damn it.
Oh. Distracted again.
I only mention it because, well, while yesterday was good, it did a lot to change feelings. We're still in danger. I imagine we'll be slow to get writing today.
That rings true. I doubt people will be quick to jump on their horses.
He nods. I'm gonna go have some rations. If you need me, you know where to find me.
Yeah.
That is, if you can make it there without getting lost in someone else's tent, eh?
Fair enough.
You can still see Arkin walking away when Sile finds you. Milord?
Sile, what did you get up to last night?
She looks away from you for just a moment, and you notice just the ever so slight presence of a blush. Then she turns back. Your horse is ready, my lord, and I've sharpened your swords.
Excellent, Sile. You are a worthy squire.
Is there anything else you require this morning, Coruscant?
If you could scrounge us some breakfast for us. I think we still have some time before this caravan moves out. I think we should be well fed before we do.
Of course, my lord. I'll prepare something. And Sile bows and leaves. Afsana, you were the first to awaken. The dream is already starting to fade as you see your tent all around you.
I stand slowly. It's been some time since we've had a celebration like this one, so I'm in no rush to venture out into the early morning sun. I stay in my tent for a short while, help myself to dried figs and dried meat, and then pull aside one of the flaps and step outside to tend to the horses, but also to see who else is awake and up, moving about.
As you're making your way toward your horses, you spot Cordo talking to his squire. She bows and walks off as you approach.
I walk over toward him and I give him a wave of good morning. Cordo, I see you enjoyed our festivities.
Hi, Afsana. Anywhere there's music, I can tend to fit in. Say nothing for the dancing.
We love an excuse to set aside a hard day's travel and celebrate.
Yeah. You Delharoon really do have a rich spirit about your culture.
I'd say I couldn't figure out that dance for the life of me.
Azoreth stumbles out of his tent, already joining in the conversation.
Because I'm in their tent walls. Probably heard what was going on outside. Disturbing my meditation.
I sometimes think the dance is slightly different every time, just to confuse us.
I'll get it done. I feel like there was something important that we were going to do yesterday.
Something about those muskets we found?
Muskets. Yeah, muskets and ashstone.
Oh yeah. Dude, Afsana, your brother's got the ashstone. We're totally just letting that go.
Sure, there's nothing like a little music and dancing to distract you from serious life-threatening business. We were going to talk to Abja. Also, who has the muskets now?
Let's say that you have them divided up amongst your horses, wrapped up and hidden on them, and you're welcome to check them if you'd like.
Yeah, Cordo definitely does.
Yeah, I think Wake wordlessly, we all kind of just want go to our horse and chip.
Yes, that seems reasonable.
Okay, everyone roll me a wisdom / intuition check.
Yay.
I failed. There are no muskets.
Actually, based on your rolls, yeah, the muskets are there. Everything looks perfectly legit on your horses.
I don't remember seeing him at all last night. Or speaking to him, for that matter.
I don't particularly remember either, but from the sound of it, he agreed with us, and he wanted to plot with us. And he has no reason to lie, right?
Unless he's trying to deceive us. I've known Abja a long time, and he doesn't always take kindly to outsiders.
Deception? What are you talking about? Who does that? Well, I think we need to, talk to him. Cordo, I think we should have our horses ready to go if, we need to roll out in a hurry.
Yeah, we need to, yeah.
Maybe have Sile get that stuff after, she's done cooking his breakfast.
Indeed. She's already on top of it. I think she already has, at least my horse ready, but I can make sure that everyone else's are too.
Well, I think that included ours then.
Ah, excellent.
I think we should discuss it with Arkin and have him come along.
First, you find Sile, and she had just finished preparing your meager breakfast, of which you snatch up, and request that she gets Ray the horses. Which she dutifully obeys, because, well, Sile.
As I'm walking away, I point at her, Sile.
Milord?
Doing a great job.
She stops for a moment. She looks not surprised, but like she's unused to that. She says, thank you, Milord. And she goes about her business. You manage to find Arkin without too much issue. He's just finishing tying all his gear to his horse when you come upon him.
Well, I see you all managed to make it out of bed, eh?
Yes. Is he, like, out of his tent?
Yeah, his tent's all packed up.
I kind of, like, check around his stuff. I don't dig into anything. I just kind of, like, check his pack and...
Yeah.
See if there's any evidence of another pipe or anything.
Hey, Fish, what are you about?
Just appreciating your style of packing.
Hi, that stitch work be awfully strong.
Right? That's a good pouch work. Right here. Oh, look at it. I kind of, like, peek into one of the pouches as I'm, like, pretend to be observing the mechanisms of the clasps and stuff.
Yeah, you see some gunpowder, like some rations and some rope. Afsana, you're not very impressed. You could do better. And as far as the stitching goes and everything. Arkin slaps your hand.
Okay.
You know, I ain't too sure you can breathe under the water. I think maybe you went without oxygen for too long, Fish. So what are y'all needing from me?
Are we ready to confront this guy?
So we're gonna go speak to this Abja, huh?
Yep.
Let's do it. I'm sure this could only end well.
It could end worse if we don't confront him before we reach Varek.
So you make your way to Abja's tent, and there's just one lone guard outside. He sees your approach and calls out in common.
Good day. We wish to speak with Abja.
I add in Delharoon. We spoke with him yesterday. He'll be expecting us.
He replies back in Delharoon. Abja is not here.
He's already ridden out for the day?
He has gone to Manek's tent.
Of course. I turn and I translate for the group. He's left. He's gone to visit Manek.
Was he requested by Manek?
I ask the man, did he go of his own free will?
He shrugs. He went fast, like 1,000 demons were chasing him.
How long ago?
It was maybe 15 minutes.
He left in a hurry 15 minutes ago.
He must hurry then. I hope he doesn't wish to confront him himself or steal it. I would think if Manek knows its power, so would Abja.
Yeah, that's probably a good assumption.
I think you're right. There are very few secrets between them.
So we'll either save your brother or save Abja. Let us go.
You hurriedly make your way across camp to Manek's tent. There are no guards stationed there. His tent flaps are wide open and you see Abja inside. He's throwing things onto the ground, digging through chests. He turns over the bedroll, all while yelling incoherently, seemingly in some sort of rage.
Is Manek in there?
No.
You wish to steal it for yourself, didn't you, Abja?
He turns, obviously unaware that he wasn't alone. His eyes are slanted, his lips are pulled back in a snarl, and he suddenly calms. Steal it? Oh, no. No. It is Manek. He is gone.
That is clear. Yes, and if you had not delayed us yesterday, we would have stopped him then.
I did not think he would run. He had no reason to run.
Aside from the strangers that speak of the artifact, where is Atzel?
What? Atzel? I do not know where Atzel is.
I looked to Afsana. Have you seen him today?
Not yet today. I'm sure he was around last night, but I spent no time with him.
Hurry, let's find your youngest brother, and we must chase them down.
I turn to Abja and I ask him, how many men did Manak take with him?
He shakes his head. I only found out slightly before you did.
I take it you know of the stone.
It is the blood of a demon, not just a stone.
I look for it because if I did not find it, it would only be then that I truly knew he was gone.
He wouldn't leave it behind.
If he would have taken men with him, we would have known he had gone. He must be alone. Why do you seek out Atzel?
I don't speak for everyone. I don't feel we convinced him of Manek's transformation. As most brothers, younger brothers do, he probably idolized Manek.
And with that, you come upon Atzel's tent. Quickly, you all file inside, barging in through the tent flaps, where you find a rather confused Atzel waking up, wondering why you're all in his tent.
Good.
What is this?
Surprise!
Manek has fled.
No, it can't be.
Yes.
Oh, yes.
I do not believe it. I will not believe it.
His tent is empty. His horse is gone. He's fled.
Perhaps he was captured.
Even after the whole evening of celebration, a raid in the middle of the night would have attracted attention. Why are you so quick to deny this?
He is our brother. Our brother, Afsana. That has not changed.
Of course not, but at this point, surely you can see we need to go after him.
Then I will come with you, and we will see what we find. He grabs his pack off the floor and quickly throws one or two things in there, grabs his spear, and then starts heading outside to get his horse. Where is it that we will go?
He couldn't have left without leaving any trace. We'll search until we find it.
Which you do. You scour the camp everywhere that you can, riding along the outskirts, asking anyone who happens to be awake if they've seen anything, until you find one distinct set of horse tracks leading out of the camp to the north.
Well, fellows, I say we've let this guy wander around with this ash stone for far too long. Let's run him down.
We have no choice.
By blade or guile or feat of the heart, your brother must relinquish the Ashstone.
Aye.
So off to the north you head. Everyone mark off a day of rations and water for those that it matters to. Azarath, mark off a day of your skincare products.
Yeah.
You ride at a good pace, pushing the horses as much as you reasonably can. No one says a word, and the quiet on the ride is discomforting.
Chips was in my dream, Cordo.
Chips, eh? You need to learn how to dance properly.
I dance just fine.
So it's shortly into this conversation that you lose the trail, since none of you have tracking. You continue going north because, well, what else are you going to do?
We could pull out the medallion and just go in whatever direction that says. We don't need to track. He pulls out a medallion and checks it out.
The sunlight glints off of it as you remove it from the bag, and it immediately starts to spin, and then swing. And then it's not so much swinging as it is just pulling toward the east. You clench your fist tightly to keep it from jumping out, because you could feel it almost wanting to fly through the air away from you toward the east.
Is Abja standing right next to me to the east?
No, but Afsana is.
I walk past her. Is it still pointing east?
Nope, it swings to point directly back at Afsana.
Wait.
Oh my god! I pull my sword.
In astonishment, Cordo does too.
What is this? Yells Abja.
Afsana looks from Cordo to Azelrath to Abja, her friends having raise their weapons at her. She is totally confused.
You've been deceiving us all this time.
What? This is ridiculous. What have I kept from you? I've only tried to help you.
Get the Ashstone?
For your own gain.
Atzel rides up alongside Afsana. You are both very quick to make conclusions. You will both sheath your swords.
You're on her side too.
Of course he's on my side.
Explain yourself. Give up the stone.
I don't have it. Of course, I heard the legends before you came, but they were just that. Legends. I didn't believe such an artifact was real, and I certainly didn't believe that I would come across it.
Afsana, make a charisma check. Cordo, Azarath, make wisdom checks. Everyone send them right to me. We'll make these guys in secret. Alright, so Afsana is nervous. She stumbles over her words as she speaks, but Cordo, you're pretty sure that there's something about it you believe. Azarath, you're not so sure.
It seems that anyone with an evil mastermind would be able to lie better than that. Though this is suspicious, I'm tempted to believe you.
Tell me again what this pendant is supposed to mark?
It tells us the location of the Ashstone.
Afsana, make a willpower roll directly to me. Afsana, you follow the line of sight from the pendant to what it's actually pointing to. And while it appears to be pointing toward you, you can tell that's actually pointing toward your saddlebag, which you notice is closed with a different knot than what you normally use.
Without a word, Afsana reaches down and unties the knot on the saddlebag, throws back the flap, and just starts frantically rifling through things.
It doesn't take long at all. Right on top of your other possessions is the cloth that your brother had held. And it is bloodied.
Afsana throws up a hand and indicates it, and then looks up at Cordo and Azarath, practically wild-eyed. What?
You all see it in her saddlebag. There is no mistaking what it is.
Azarath, he puts his sword down, but not away. And when she pulls it out, I look at Abja.
He's staring directly at it like the rest of you aren't even there.
I make my way in between him and Afsana.
That's good, because you're the only one that could keep it safe. There's no one else could probably handle it. It's best in your hands.
That's what I think?
Yes.
Of course.
What was your plan? This is what we were riding for, and it was here the whole time?
Must be destroyed or protected. Either way, it can't be in the hands of warmongers or those with ambition or worldly gold.
Atzel breaks in. But where is Manek?
Manek was attacked by his own companion, his right-hand man, and somehow escaped. And when he did, he was able to make it to Afsana's saddlebag and leave it there before his escape.
You know this to be true? You know it for a fact?
I've only just now put it together.
And you blame me? Says Abja with anger rampant in his voice.
I take a defensive stance between him and Afsana.
If it was me, then where is Manek?
Hiding from you, apparently.
If I were to attack Manek, he would be dead.
But with that stone in his possession, he could have been a match.
He would never be a match for me. But even if we did fight, his men would be there. My men would be there. It would not have been so simple.
It would be for his trusted warchief.
Manek went nowhere without bodyguards by his side ever since we returned. They would either be dead, or they would have raised an alarm. And he takes a few steps closer.
Step back.
From what? From you, an outsider?
You shall taste my blade. It's not Delharun. Taste of salt.
His hand goes to his kopesh. You think it were to be safer with you? You think that you deserve the stone?
No, no one does.
Then it must be destroyed.
Indeed.
No, he yells as he draws his kopesh.
Your hunger for it only proves your unworthiness.
It will be mine!
Abjah starts running toward you in a blind fury, but suddenly stops short as an arrow flies between you both, sending up a shower of sand as it buries itself in the ground. Everything is silent for just a moment as all of your gazes fix upon the quivering shaft. As one, you then turn away from the arrow to look to where it came from. A safe distance away, you see a body wrapped in a black cloak. Next to it is a jet black horse upon which it leans. Afsana, Cordo, you've heard of them in tales, but Azelrath, you've seen them in the flesh in the dark caves down in the depths. At the other end of the bow, staring at you all with deadly intent, is a drow.
Marcus, drown me. What now?
This has been The Isles of Samsaris, theme song by Nick Coyle. Information on other music and sound effects can be found in the show notes. For more information on Samsaris and related projects, as well as information on booking game sessions, check out our website at www.crumblingkeep.com. Like Crumbling Keep on Facebook to keep up to date on Samsaris lore and episode releases. Want more? Donate to our Patreon at www.patreon.com/crumblingkeep. Afsana is played by Emily Cam, Cordo is played by David Thornton, Azelrath is played by Brad Kishbaugh, and Heskin is played by Frank Bolin. My name is James Crane, and I've been your Dungeon Master. Thanks for listening, and remember, fantasy is hardly an escape from reality. It's a way of understanding it.